Now, if you're looking at your calendar, you realize, yes, it is Big Iron Week. We are in day two. You've got an hour left to get on out here. You got from 9 until 4 tomorrow if you can't make it out today. But you also will realize that it's the second Wednesday of the month, and that means it's Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch, who we find in the Gunderson-provided KFGO studio. Eric, how you doing, man?
Holy cow, Tyler. I miss you in the studio right now. It's just Eric and Eric in here. It's a lot of testosterone without you in here.
It's a lot, too many Erics. Too many. Well, I'm out here watching people walk by, kicking tires, thinking about some investments. Real estate, perhaps, is one of them. And I already had questions waiting for you about 40 minutes ago, so they've been eager to get you
on
these areas.
That's fun. I love that.
It is. And we said this off air, but I enjoy that now we've got guests that are just called Dude. You know, we got the Meat Dude, Spencer Wirt, and now somebody wants to call you the Real Estate Dude.
Okay.
His name's Eric Hatch, Hatch Company. Newsmax is reporting a real estate crash is going to happen. Do you see that happening? Comes in.
So that's a great question, and I would answer it by saying it depends on where you live. So one of the best examples I can give is Phoenix, Scottsdale, Mesa, the Arizona hub. I have a good buddy. His name's Dave down there, runs a real estate team. So he gives me insider information on what's happening in Scottsdale. And the thing that happened is when COVID spiked, a lot of businesses crashed, but real estate was not that kind of business. Real estate did exceedingly well over those couple of years. And values in the Phoenix larger metro grew by 50 to 80%. Just take that in. That $500,000 house that you thought you could get is all of a sudden now $750,000 or $800,000. Like, holy cow. Now, interest rates have been low, and so people weren't necessarily paying in astronomical amount above their average pay. But like here locally in the Red River Valley, we saw appreciation of about 20 to 25% over the last 2.5 years. But in Scottsdale and Phoenix, they saw 50, 70, 80% jump. Even some areas were higher than that. And so are those areas prone to a crash? They are much more likely to have a market adjustment than we will in the Red River Valley. Here in good old Fargo and the surrounding area, we are the boring train that goes around the amusement park. No big ups, no big downs. We're just kind of that consistent index fund. We're that predictable train that doesn't have any big swings to it. And so I only know what's happened in the history of the United States. The most recent crash happened in 2007 and 2008. Throughout that market crash, and that was huge, the Phoenix areas of the world, they lost 50, 60, and 70% of their value. So that $500,000 home you bought that you had a 99% mortgage on, you owed $495,000 on that $500,000 house, that crashed to being worth $200,000. Like, I can't imagine what that was like. That's what happened in Phoenix in 2007, 2008. What happened in the Red River Valley is between 2007 and 2011, we practically flatlined. There was a little bit of appreciation every year until 2011. And then hold on to your britches here, Tyler, because what happened was, I don't know if you're wearing britches right now, but nonetheless.
Overalls. I'm a big iron man. They're overalls and bibs and flannel shirts.
So the market had its first drop in the history of me being a realtor. I started in 2005, so it's not that long before. But the market adjusted, and it was the only time the market's ever gone down, and it went down 1.25%.
Wow.
And that was our quote-unquote crash. So to our texter's question, do I think that the market is going to crash? It may adjust in the Scottsdales and Phoenixes of the world. Locally, I think we're pretty insulated. I don't ever want to eat my words. I don't want to ever not heed warning to people. But I'm hearing that interest rates right now, they're in the mid 5% range. Experts are saying that they'll be somewhere in the fours in 2023. And that is a big win for consumers.
I think that the obvious question, why do we seem like we are the most reliable engine that goes around the same boring track? What is it about this region? I mean, do we finance differently? Is it more local? Explain that to me if you know.
Yeah, one of the reasons was the fact that North Dakota has a state-run bank. And that has been a very advantageous piece, especially in the 2007-2008 crash, is we didn't have massively irresponsible lending practices. Whether you are conservative or liberal and you live in the area here, we tend to lean on more conservative practices when it comes to our money. There's not this massive amount of financial irresponsibility and this feel that we have to keep up with the Joneses. If you compare that to what you see maybe in an LA or a Miami, right? Those are very different cultures that breed a whole lot of falsification and puffery, if you will. And so we don't necessarily have that here. And plus, real estate isn't on these like huge, huge swings. This is a place that is conservative with its money. This is a place that doesn't have the practices to race to the top, similar to at least in comparison to other markets. But ultimately, Tyler, at the core of this, I simply think that the nature of the beast around here is that people follow the trendsetter. Let me give you an example. I have a good friend that's from Israel. And he and I have talked about the difference in cultures. And the greatest example that he can use is he says, if there's ever a food truck in Tel Aviv where he's at, everybody stands about 10 feet back for the person that's ordering. The moment that the person is done, everybody rushes to the front to be the next in line. Where here in the United States, if there's a food truck, we all just slowly and calmly form a line together. You just follow the leader and you follow the trends of what's happened for people that have come before you. And so I think it's the same thing here, is that our lending practices, our habits of our consumers, of the home buyers and sellers of the world, are following the trends of what people have done before them. And our forefathers here in the Red River Valley and beyond, I think have done a really good job of instilling some great values and some smart choices that we've done. And we get to follow in those footsteps.
I'm sorry, if I'm at a food truck and it's a dash for the front, that means I ain't eating unless I start throwing elbows, man. I'm never getting to the front of that line. That would be a terrible method. Eric Katz is keeping it real. It's the second Wednesday of the month here. KFGO times 416, and I got messages waiting for you at 35270. Tyler, can you ask Eric, what can you tell me about investment groups buying farmland for rental income? I've been inundated with YouTube ads lately.
So there are a lot of opportunity. They're not making any more land, right? I think we've seen a couple of things. I saw a billboard recently that talked about there were some investors from China that were looking to buy farmland. I then have, of course, heard that Bill Gates has purchased some farmland all here in the North Dakota and northern Minnesota areas. And so we start wondering, like, what in the world is going on? And I can't speak to their strategy and what they're seeing. I simply know that we continue to grow as a population on Earth and in the United States, and that land is a consistent commodity. When it comes to agriculture and for these people that own farmland, if somebody is willing to pay, my guess is they see financial wins in it. Short-term, long-term, I don't know what their strategy is, but if they're seeing those ads, those are highly targeted ads, because I don't see those ads, right? I'm not a farmer. I'm not seeing those ads that are targeted towards me. The way in which the metaverse and everything else works is whatever you are, it's going to hunt you down. And so my guess is these investment groups that want to come in simply see that eventually the prices of these things are going to rise and rise mightily, and they'll be able to capitalize on that. That's my prediction, but that's simply a guess from my hip.
I have seen that same billboard around town, but as you just mentioned, that I haven't seen those ads.
Right.
So it is highly targeted to those. I'd be curious.
To see a food truck ad follow you around.
Oh, yeah, I know. Just because I uttered the words, I'll be inundated with food truck ads. Actually, I think I already saw a couple today. Probably because I'm at Big Iron. There's a lot of food trucks out here.
That's how
laser-focused they are on these. I get the concern. I mean, I do. I've seen a number of people saying, China's buying this. As you mentioned, Bill Gates as well. 237-5948, that's the Laney studio line, and I believe we've got Rick on hold. Rick, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Mr. Hatch, I just caught part of your conversation there. So you're kind of saying that the increase in interest and stuff hasn't really affected our market here in Fargo Moorhead?
The increase in interest in what, Rick? I want to make sure I understand fully.
Housing market, buying and selling houses.
Yeah.
What from what?
Right,
3%
right.
3% to 5.5% hasn't affected the buying and selling in Fargo Moorhead?
So right now, the market that we're experiencing in 2022 is reflective of 2019. 2020 and 2021 were COVID markets, and what we saw was a large jump in home value appreciation, the supply and demand. There were so few people selling because they had refinanced, and so many buyers wanting to change their environment. So 2020 and 2021 have been anomalies for real estate locally and nationally.
But you didn't answer my question, though.
Yeah, I'm getting there, Rick. What we're experiencing right now, regardless of interest rates, is we're still seeing a steady market, which is similar to what we saw in 2019. It's not near as inflated. Home values are increasing simply because of still supply and demand, but these interest rates have not halted the market. What we're seeing
sales and purchases haven't been affected by that increase in interest?
Well, I think that they're... Reflective on supply and demand, we still don't have a lot of houses to sell because so many people refied. And if you refied at a 3% interest rate and now it's 5.5%, that changes your payment by hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. And so it has taken the people who have been the maybe I'm going to buy real estate and it's flushed them out of the market, or the people who have a limited budget and it's flushed them out of the market. But even after those people are flushed out, we're still in a seller's market. The sellers still are at the advantage in a traditional real estate transaction in the Red River Valley.
Very good. Rick, I appreciate that phone call. You can call in as well, 237-5948. That's Lenny's studio line. Or you can text us. iConsultants of North Dakota Text Clubs at 35270. It is Keeping It Real with Eric Atch here on Afternoons Live. We'll keep it rolling on. I got messages in. We'll get back to those. It's your chance. Free real estate advice, questions, answers, all of it right here on KFGO.
Sell or trade on the last remaining dinosaur.
Your opportunity for free real estate questions getting answered here. Eric Atch is in the KFGO studio. I'm on a Big Iron. We got another 20 minutes. Check that, 22 minutes before 5 o'clock for your punch out. Eric, you know, it's the second Wednesday of September already. You can feel it in the air. I mean, it's a chilly morning. You're sleeping with the windows open. Fall's here. How does that change people's buying, selling habits? What should people keep in mind if they're looking to sell this time of year?
Boy, a lot of people pump the brakes the minute that this temp starts to drop. And I understand, and I also don't understand. So I think I understand because the idea of moving in fall or winter just seems like, oh, it's so cold. I'm going to have to deal with ice and snow and wind and all those things. But I also remember when I've moved, and it's been about a decade since I've moved, but we spent weeks packing. And then we spent months unpacking. In fact, I think I'm still in the unpacking phase for a few boxes that have made their way to the storage unit, right? Like all of this it's so much time indoors. And so what I love is the idea of actually moving in the winter, because you end up right now, by the way, even though it's only the middle of September, if you list your home's going to be on the market 30 or 40 days on average. It may sell faster. It may sell quicker than that, or may take an exceedingly long amount of time. Just all depends on your strategy with that. But then it's also going to sit in escrow for 30 to 45 days. So even if you listed your house today, the likelihood of it closing in even November is really fast. And so you're looking at a December closing today. Now, inversely, Tyler, if you're a buyer, the average buyer looks for 10 to 12 weeks and then it sits in escrow for about 6 weeks. And so you're 3 to 4 months out on closing on your house if you're a buyer jumping into the market today. And so what we see in our market, what we see in this area, is the moment that this fall post-school starting season starts, the real estate market tends to slow down. There are less homes that are listed. The buyers that are out there are still looking. But here's the funny thing. There are more people looking at houses in our area in the month of December and January than any other months of the year, because they're looking online. And they're stir crazy in their place. And so they're starting to find their retail therapy by shopping on the internet and seeing what's out there. So the buyers that actually go and look at houses, they're way more serious about it. I say all that, and then let me end with this: is I watch what's happening on our real estate team with a mighty, mighty intentionality, and I watch what happens in the market with massive focus. And the month of August, we pended, meaning we put under contract more homes in August than we had in August of last year. And right now, our September is off to a ruckus of a start. It is really, really fun, really, really busy, and that's telling me that although we usually see a massive slowdown in the winter months, and that starts about now for us as realtors, I'm actually thinking that it's not going to slow down as much as it has previously. Because there's so many folks that have sat on the sidelines waiting for their opportunity, and I think they're jumping in now, Tyler. This is a fun time to be a realtor because I'm in new territory. I'm in a space where I can't predict everything that's happening, but I love the energy that our market is bringing right now.
Well, and folks, for those of you that are looking to move in the winter, I would give you this suggestion. That's when you make that investment to hire the movers, because you're going to have fewer opportunities, fewer friends raising hands saying, sure, I will go ahead and move that sofa while it's snowing out.
The old offer of pizza and beer is now a beer-sicle that you're offering and a frozen pizza.
How about chili and a warm cider, the spiked? I think that's going to have to be the combination if you go in these winter months. We were talking about how this market seems insulated from, other parts of the country when it comes to some of these wild swings. And you mentioned that even this year, compared to other Augusts and Septembers, you're excited about things. What would be a warning sign? Like, what's the thing that you would look to see and say, oh, okay, something's amiss here? Can you give us any insight on that?
That's a great question. I think there's probably two or three warning signs that I would keep a watch on. I think interest rates, they do impact somebody's affordability. I don't think that it changes their motivation, but it impacts their affordability. So if you have a higher priced home and you see interest rates start to rise, you have to understand you start snipping off a number of people that are likely to buy your home. So the expensive houses are really, that's the first market that we tend to see is a luxury market. Our luxury market in this area, I'd probably say is north of $600,000 or so. So any home that's priced above that. And our average sales price in the Fargo Moorhead area through August is about $310,000. And so double that price is now when we're going to see that market start to slow down. So that's the first place that I see the indicators is in that luxury market. The second place is in new construction, because new construction costs you a premium. What you're paying for is brand new, and you're getting oftentimes your choices, and that comes at top dollar. Right, you're not buying an old roof. You're not buying a foundation that's had a couple leaks. You're not buying a stove that's 10 years old. All those are reflective in the price when we see resale homes, homes that are previously lived in. I don't call them used homes. That always sounds a little bit weird, right? But when the new market or when the new home market starts to slow as well, that for me says, all right, we're moving into a adjusting, shifting market right now. So those are the two key indicators I would keep a watchful eye on, our new construction and the luxury market in our area.
Very good. I have a random question for you. I imagine you guys keep track of this. What's the most expensive house bought or sold through Hatch Realty? In this area,
about $1.9 million.
Okay. I don't know why. I've had you on this program a dozen times. I'm like, I've never asked that question.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah. We sold that house back in December of last year. And beautiful, beautiful lake property. In town, about $1.5 million is our most expensive house. And that's out in the shadow, in the Rivers Bend area back kind of behind Costco. There are some beautiful houses over there, but most of the homes that are the really big ticket item homes. And don't get me wrong. Those are big ticket items. Most of those homes happen in private sale or they're new construction.
Very good. You got a question for Eric Hatch. It's keeping it real. He sent it in 35270. So, the things, appearance-wise, change a little bit in the fall. Obviously, you got the fall colors. You got the trees aren't as flush. Is there anything, if you want that street, that curb appeal, what's the two things of advice you'd give? Saying, all right, this is what's going to catch somebody's attention. They're in their house. It's winter. It's December. That's where all the eyes are there. This is what's going to make it pop in that first photo that they see.
Yeah, pumpkin spice your house is what I'd say. Yeah, you got to everything pumpkin spice. In all sincerity, right now, even if you have on the horizon, even if it's a long shot, you should look to get some professional photos by your realtor done on your house right now, because everything is blooming, right? The flowers have never looked better. The shrubs are super green and lush. And even as they start to slightly change color here in the next couple of weeks, this is the most photographic, opportunistic time for your home. So if you're trying to capture and take advantage of the season that we're in, now is the time. So that's that's tip number one. Tip number two has to deal with the inside of your house. I think that this is the time in which you should open up every last window, every last door, and let your house breathe before it doesn't breathe in the winter. You need to understand this. The insulation that has been put into houses over the last 20 years is about the same insulation as what was put in previously. But what comes with that is a whole lot of plastic wrap. They keep the house essentially from breathing because they're trying to keep mold and mildew from growing. And so they're saran wrapping the house, and the house doesn't breathe. And so give your house a breath of fresh air. Open up those windows and those doors. Your house will feel better. You'll get some natural light to cascade in before it gets to the dark days of winter.
Yeah, soak it in, boys and girls. We all know what's fast approaching as we are watching September fly by as well. It's already the second Wednesday. That's why we got Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch. One more segment. You get your questions in, he'll answer them for you. I got to get you this final weather update from Too Tall Tom Szymanski. I see the flags out here at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. They're blowing, so it's a little windy out there right now, but it's still quite pleasant out there. You can take the rest of the week from him. We'll come back and wrap up this Wednesday edition of Keeping It Real on Afternoons Live. You got locked into KFGO Fargo.
We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least. We were hard.
Final question before the final word goes to Eric Hatch, who's my guest here on Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch. This one for you, Eric. Do lakeshore properties have the same levels of staging as non-lakeshore properties? Does the lake make the sale?
That is a great question. Kinda is the answer.
Okay. That's hedging.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Kinda. I'm putting that flag in the sand. So the lake matters most. When it comes to anything in the lakes area, the lake is the premier location, location, location. Once you figure out the lake you're on, then it's the lot that you're on and the front footage that you have. Those are the next determining factors that I would say. But after that is the house, right? I'll give you an example. A lot of people out there are garage people, right? They'll say, I won't buy a house unless it has three or four garage stalls. Well, the location still matters the most. And the house, I think, matters more than the garage. But for some people, the garage matters most. And so it really just depends on the user and what they're looking for. So it's easy to say kinda as the response because a property should look okay. If it's a property that needs to be torn down or is hungry for renovation, staging really isn't necessary. Getting it to shine and to pop, people are going to see past that because they love the lake, they love the lot, they love the front footage. Those things certainly matter. But if it's a place that is move-in ready, is livable at that point, you want that to show as well.
I was that garage guy when we were in the market. And then, like you say, location and the house, you know, you have to make some sacrifices. And I sacrificed. She won. But we're both happy, so I'm not complaining here. Eric, we've got just a few minutes left. What's your final word of advice this month?
I actually want to go with one of my favorite questions, and I'm curious what the listening audience would say. And that is, Tyler, if you have to decide, let's say you're staring at a house and you're like, which one am I going to choose? The houses are both about the same. One has a third garage stall and one has a master bathroom. What do you think people lean towards?
I go garage. Yeah.
Your girlfriend would go master bath. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Have you been listening to our comment? Yes, absolutely.
and it's not a gender line in the sand that's drawn. I think that people will ask the question, what does this bring me for resale value? What is this point? And ultimately, I can tell you that if you were to rebuild and if you had the lot that supported a third garage stall, that's going to cost you probably $12,000 to $15,000. If you wanted to add a third garage stall to it, if you wanted to add a master bathroom and your house had the square footage for it, you could just pull from the closet or pull from the bedroom or another bedroom. The cost of that is going to be less than $12,000 to $15,000. However, it's just a user preference because you certainly have different decision makers in every household and different needs for families. ultimately, when it comes to families, I again see the battle because a parent doesn't want to fight having the bathroom with their kids. And then you think of how many things pile up in the garage over time. So there's like almost every question that's asked, there's not a right answer. I can simply say that it depends on the situation you and your family find yourself in.
Very good. Eric, I've got more questions coming in, but I tell you what, we do this every second Wednesday of the month. You'll be back in about a month's time, right?
I'll be here, ready to party.
You'll be here. I'll save that chair for you. Eric Hatch, if you want to learn more, where do you suggest they go?
Swing over to hatchrealty.com or give us a call at 701-369-4839. We'd love to help you and give you any advice we can.
Very good. So the questions are coming in about the 1980s houses. You'll be listening in about a month's time. We'll have Eric Hatch back in, or you can
That's the longest cliffhanger I've ever heard.
That's
great.
Stay tuned at about a month's time. But Eric Hatch is always fun, man. I'll let you go, and we'll catch up in a month's time. But, folks, Big Iron is going to be back out here again tomorrow. I will not be. I'm back in the studio. Accord Comfort Sleep Center, I'm going to be over there